Opinions expressed during the drive time with Dave Glover are those of Dave and his guests, and not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment for Dave? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now, here's Dave.
They fought and some died for their homeland. They fought and some died, now it's our land. Look at his little child, there's no fear in her eyes. Could he not show respect for other dads who have died? Take 2 minutes, would you mind? It's a pittance of time. For the boys and the girls who went over, in peace may they rest, may we never forget why they died. It's a pittance of time. God forgive me for wanting to strike him. Give me strength so as not to be like him. My heart pounds in my breast, fingers pressed to my lips. My throat wants to bawl out, my tongue barely resists. But 2 minutes I will bide, it's a pittance of time. For the boys and the girls who went over, in peace may they rest, may we never forget why they died. It's a pittance of time. The heroes at home, they have casualties, battles, and fears of their own. There's a price to be paid if you go, if you stay. Freedom's fought for and won in numerous ways. Take 2 minutes, would you mind? It's a pittance of time for the boys and the girls all over. May we never forget our young become vets at the end of the line. It's a pittance of time. It takes courage to fight in your own war. It takes courage to fight someone else's war. Our peacekeepers tell of their own living hell. They bring hope to foreign lands that hate mongers can't kill. Take 2 minutes, would you mind? It's a pittance of time for the boys and the girls who go over. In time our best, still don battle dress and lay their lives on the line. It's a pittance of time. In peace may they rest, lest we forget why they died. Take a pittance of time.
Terry Kelly here on your Drive Time. That is A Pittance of Time in honor of our fallen, and not just the fallen as well. I mean, we want to talk about the folks who make it back as well. Not all the heroes have to be left behind. So many come home, and we're going to be talking today. We're talking to Iris Milne, who is the second vice president. She's also the Poppy Chair at Branch 133 in Cobourg. That's the Royal Canadian Legion. And joining her as well is John Aitken. He is the Veterans Services Officer for Branch 133, but also for this region, if I understand correctly. Is that correct, John?
For Zone F1, yes.
There you go, for Zone F1. So we're going to turn your microphone just up a little bit. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of microphones here in the studio. We got to share. That's just the way it is. And our other guest today, of course, because this is considered this Wednesday, it's November 12th. And joining me is Rob Washburn. He is an e-journalism professor at Loyalist. Not Loyalist. It's not Loyalist, is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is Loyalist. My goodness. I think that's the Trent last time, and that's what it was. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. Glad to have you here. I guess the first thing we want to ask Iris right off the top, wow, this year has just been an incredible year for remembrance. We saw the local newspapers. They reported a few hundred people at the cenotaphs. I got to say, I was there. You were there. There had to be well over 1,000 people. I know you folks printed up 800 free missiles to give out, and you'd given most of those out, but the crowds were still coming. I got to the cenotaph about 10 to the hour, and there were still people streaming from King Street all the way along into the Victoria Park in Cobourg here, and what a service it was.
Yes, I thought it was a beautiful service, and I was really impressed by the people who were involved in putting it together, both Legion people and the community, Cobourg people. It was just, it was beautiful. And I'm like you, I think there was over 1,000 people there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there had to be. And now I had heard before that there was going to be an increased police presence. I didn't really feel as though there was an increased police presence. Did you feel that?
You know, we talked to Chief Kailu, and there was, but they were not obvious. Mm-hmm. They were, you would not pick them out in the crowd. They were there to reassure us that things were taken care of. There was no, if there was a threat, they were there for us. I did meet them afterwards, and I just thanked them because it was nice to know they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Iris, could you take a moment and maybe describe for those of us who weren't there what the service was like?
It was a very moving service. When the people on parade came down and the Cobourg Legion Pipe Band and all of the marchers from Petawawa, Trenton, the police, there were just so many, the cadets were there, just the Legion members. It was so stirring. Also, too, having Ted Ernst and the poet laureate read the Flanders, not read, he recited it, mm-hmm. the Flanders Fields poem. It was very, very moving. I found the whole thing in our Padre Art King. I thought he did a beautiful job. Everybody was there and wanting to participate, and I think they did.
John, how about you? What were the highlights for you yesterday?
Well, I'm the president of Port Hope and Cobourg Garrison Artillery Association. Also, I'm a Mason, and I laid two wreaths, one for the Garrison Artillery and one for the Masons. I was, being a former veteran myself and personally burying two comrades in the desert, when they play the last post, I get rather emotional about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that really brings home. Things like that make me very emotional.
How about you, Dave? What was highlight for you?
Well, just hearing the bands, again, the last post. I have always had an affinity for the men and women who served in this country, probably from the way I was raised. My grandfather used to have a Legion, essentially, in his back room when I was growing up. And I remember the Royal Canadian Armed Forces Band led by Charlie Brown, and they used to rehearse in my grandfather's backyard in the summertime. and they would march from my grandfather's house to the Warriors Day Parade at CNE. So always had a strong affinity. I was a member of the Navy League Cadets. I was a Sea Cadet. I was an Air Cadet for a while. I was part of the 48th Highlanders Reserve Unit in Toronto at Moss Park Armory. So for me, it's a very moving ceremony. This is why I like to talk a lot about not just the fallen, but also those like John here who have served, who may have left friends behind, who've had to come back to, you know, it's got to be hard, the transition from that to quote-unquote regular life. I mean, for you, John, I know just sitting here with you now and you talking about your experiences to the extent that you have thus far, I know that personally it's a very moving feeling for you as well.
Oh, it is. I remember when I got out of the service, it took me a while to get into the civilian mode of thinking. When you're in the service, your buddies, you watch each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there, and you don't screw each other around because your life depends on them.
That's right.
And they depend on you. But when you come back to civilian life, it takes you a while to get onto that dog-eat-dog mentality.
Right. Every man for himself.
Every man for himself, and the hell with you, buddy. I'm okay, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it did take a while for me to get my mindset back into the civilian mode.
Iris, could you tell us a bit about the Poppy campaign this year?
I think I can tell you the Poppy campaign, the tagging and the businesses that had poppy boxes, they exceeded last year. Right now, without all the money being in, they're 5,000 over last year. And we haven't counted the donations. We haven't finished counting the boxes. So we are well over last year. And I found the people were incredibly generous. They made a point of being generous. I just, mm-hmm. people came into the branch and made donations, and they made big donations. And I was very touched by that.
What do you think was behind it? What was motivating people?
I think it is the loss of the two military men, Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent Casey and Corporal Nathan Cirillo. I think people were so deeply moved by the loss of those two soldiers on Canadian soil. They wanted to do something, and this is their way of giving back, and they gave back by donating.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, tell me a bit about we know some places there's been trouble with boxes. I know down our way that some boxes were taken. Did you have any problems like that this year?
We had no problems with boxes being taken, no. The people in the community were wonderful, as I say. No problem with boxes taken, no problems at all.
Did you have more businesses interested in having boxes compared to last year?
I think we did, but we only have a certain number of boxes. I think after reviewing the campaign this year, we'll probably bring in more tagging boxes for sure, because the taggers go out in shifts, and when the others came in to get their boxes, the others hadn't come back because they were still out there and people were still putting donations in. So we probably have to look at that and increase that.
Mm-hmm.
What's involved in putting together the Poppy campaign?
The Poppy campaign, because for the Legion, it's the commitment to the act of remembrance, remembering those who gave their lives, those soldiers, men and women, who died serving Canada. And so the Legion has a commitment not to forget and to keep the memory alive in the community. So what that's involved in is the schools, providing the schools with poppies, providing them with speakers, veterans going out there to speak, holding a contest. We have a contest that involves poetry, essay writing, and posters. The schools are involved in that. They can go all the way to the Ontario level with their posters and be judged at that level. We are really active in trying to promote remembrance. We do that, too, in the community. You know, the Remembrance Day Parade, the Cenotaph Service, services in the community to certain care facilities that want to have their own service. Our members go out there and take part in that. I hope I haven't left anything out, but we are very, very involved in helping the community not forget those who served Canada and gave their lives in service.
And where does the money go once it's collected?
It goes to the Poppy Trust Fund. It's kept. Now, that's something maybe John will talk more about, okay, because I can tell you a bit, but John is, as Veteran Service Officer, involved a lot in that. Money goes to community, but it goes to veterans and their families, and as Service Officer, he'll know a little bit about how that's used.
Go ahead, John. Tell us about it.
Well, some veterans can't access, say, an electric scooter. So they have to first go to the Community Care Access Service, and the Access Service will probably grant them about 75% of the scooter. So they're on the hook for 25%, which is usually $1,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
So what they can do is they can get a hold of the Poppy, myself as the Veteran Service Officer, or Iris as the Poppy Chair or the President, and say, could I go through the Poppy Fund and would you give me that $1,000? And so the three of us would talk about it, and usually we say, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's for the widows. Now, if a widow of a veteran, say, needs one of those hospital beds, like I know at the Legion Village, some of them have the hospital beds mm-hmm. that go up and down. The VA won't pay for that because they're the widow, and so, you know. So they come to us again, and could you foot the bill for my bed? And yes, we would. And so also for the wives, even living or even the wives of living veterans, if they need dental work and things mm-hmm. like that that they can't afford, they come to the Poppy Fund and they ask. And also we give to the hospital for specific things. They will come to us and say they need a widget or whatever, but we give them money. We usually give the hospital about $10,000 a year.
Really?
And
so that's going to lead me to my next question, which is, so for instance, the monies that were raised in this area, in Cobourg, for instance, does all of that money go to this branch, or does it go to the province, or does it go to the Dominion?
That money is the money for this branch in trust for the people of this community. We hold it in trust mm-hmm. because the community gives the money. We're responsible for using it in a manner that goes with the Poppy Trust Fund, okay? We also support Meals on Wheels. We support hospice. Any service that helps veterans and seniors and the community. That, like, those services, the cadets, we support the cadets. Mm-hmm. So that's the sort of way. But it is money earmarked now for our area. We will go beyond. We will support things for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
But our primary purpose is our community.
Right.
How much money are we talking about here?
Again, you know, we can't talk about the numbers this year, but we can talk about past numbers, right?
So, say last year, about 30,000. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, that's an important responsibility.
And how many people directly would you help? I know there's many organizations, but about how many people, like John was describing, would you help?
Well, that's hard.
Oh, yeah. I would probably average maybe about, I would say, 8 to 10 Poppy requests a year. Now, that's through me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have the other Poppy requests, like from the hospitals or from the cadets and things. So I don't count that. I'm only counting, say, widows,
individuals,
veterans. Yes, that's what I'm counting.
Or sometimes because a community doesn't have the funds, say, that our Legion has, mm-hmm. we can be called upon to help support another veteran in another community, which when we all get together, mm-hmm. our priority being our community, but we will help other communities because they are veterans and our purpose is to help veterans and their families.
Right. How much of, now, I have to ask you this because we know in the last several years that this current federal government has done a lot, well, sorry, not done a lot, has done a lot to diminish their role in servicing veterans. And I know that when I ask you these questions, John, that you're acting on, your answers are your answers and they're not any, there's no reflection on the Royal Canadian Legion or your role with the Legion, simply your opinion. But I have to ask you this because there has been talk about, you know, veterans offices having been closed and so many other services that are no longer being provided. How much of that is eating into the amount of money that is being raised through, say, the Poppy Fund?
Well, there's, I wouldn't say that that reflects directly on the Poppy Fund. The diminished, what you would call the diminished effects for, say, Afghan veterans.
Right.
Under the new new veterans charter you're talking about that mm-hmm. was implemented in 2005. No, I'll honestly tell you that I've been a service officer over 6 years, and I have yet to have one Afghanistan veteran come to me and ask me for anything. In fact, I don't even think we have 1,100 members, and I don't think even one of them is an Afghan veteran. The reason for that is my own, not speaking for the Legion, my right. own, is that the Afghan veterans felt like under the new Veterans Charter, which the government did go to the Legion to ask their opinion,
mm-hmm.
the Afghan veterans have felt shafted by the federal government
and
the Legion as well.
Right.
And so I don't know what it is, but the Afghan veterans are just staying right away from us.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Could I just add?
Please.
Our Legion, Branch 133, really wants to support the veterans who have come back and have come back with sickness and injury. We had a busload of our members go to Ottawa for Rock the Hill in support of those Afghan vets. Our Legion did that. Now, some of the others did too.
Mm-hmm.
But ours, I would say, were there in more force than any other. And that was a personal decision of our Legion, mm-hmm. our president, and our executive to support that.
But even in that effort, and it was a great effort, by the way, for those of you that weren't aware of Rock the Hill, it was branches from across the country, actually. All but the Dominion president said, yeah. please don't wear your Legion uniforms. Please don't wear your brace. So even they were wanting to distance themselves. So is that part of the reason why that disconnect exists, you think, between the Afghan veterans and the regular or the other veterans with the Royal Canadian Legion? Because there has been this perception out there that Dominion Command is basically working sort of in cahoots or in the pocket of this current government and isn't really standing up for these veterans.
Well, again, my own personal opinion.
Absolutely, John.
Is that... I don't think the Dominion Command is in anybody's pocket, but Rock the Hill, as we were told not to wear our uniforms, not one person from Dominion Command, which is in Ottawa, not one person came out to support us. They say to us now, you know, don't get upset and don't use harsh words. You know, it's basically the old English saying, softly, softly, catchy monkey. We'll do this. Well, how long? Well, it'll come. Well, we have veterans which have, unfortunately, post-traumatic stress who are committing suicide. Well, how long? And, you know, the Dominion Command, they're not, to me, they should be out there in force with us on the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They should be out on radio. They should be out on TV. They come out with milquetoast things saying, oh, the veterans aren't happy. And they write it up in the Legion magazine. Oh, mm-hmm. you know, they're not happy. But not do I see, and we stand for square with our veterans. I don't see that. All these little puff pieces in the Legion,
mm-hmm.
but not one. We stand with them, and we will be there at the next protest or anything like that. No, they are not there. They are not, to my mind,
mm-hmm.
the Dominion Command is not supporting the veterans the way the veterans should be supported.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, they're really sort of abrogating their responsibility to veterans. I mean, one of the reasons the Royal Canadian Legion exists and why it was founded those many years ago was because of these very things. They saw the federal government was dropping the ball with regards to returning soldiers. The promises weren't being kept. Guys were coming home with no services available to them, and it was the responsibility, it became the responsibility of the Royal Canadian Legion to ensure that those services started to happen. And through the work of the Royal Canadian Legion, those things have changed. But what we're seeing now, especially at the Dominion level, is, okay, it's good enough now, and we'll have to just, you know, go along to get along. Don't rock the boat. Eventually, they'll think about us, and they'll give us more money when the government has it.
I'd just like to add to this, because I think it's really interesting. I was reading today the Veterans Ombudsman's Office. It's a federal agency, and in their 2013-2014 report, they're saying that right now present issues include disability benefits. 23% of the complaints that they get are about disability benefits.
Mm-hmm.
13% are about Veterans Independence Program and the way that it's dysfunctional. Another 11% are saying that the health care benefits, they're getting complaints about this. And 5% of the complaints they get are about case management. So I'd ask you, John, what do you think about this Veterans Ombudsman and his role? Is it something that's helpful, or is it something that the Legion should be doing?
Well, the Ombudsman, as we all know, is just a spokesperson for the veteran, but does not have really official. He can make recommendations,
mm-hmm.
but the government can just turn their back on whatever he says. But the core feeling of the veterans who are upset, like myself and other veterans, the core feeling is this, that okay. That World War II vets and Korean vets, should they get catastrophic injuries, lose a leg, lose an arm, lose two legs, two arms, they get money for life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between a World War II veteran and a Korean veteran that lost limbs or catastrophic injuries and an Afghan veteran who has the same injuries but does not get money for life necessarily?
Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding from the Veterans Charter, the new charter, if you will, is that they have the option. They can either get paid out for life or they can take a lump sum. That's how the government has painted this picture. What Julian Fantino has said is, well, we gave them an option. They could have taken a lump sum payout, which a lot of people did, or we could just pay them out as a regular pension. A lot of people opted for the lump sum. We can't help it if that's what they wanted. This is what we're getting from the federal government. This is the Veterans Affairs Minister, listeners, saying, hey, we can't be held responsible if people make bad financial decisions.
Well, I'd like to comment on this. Yes, what you say is true. They can have one lump sum, or they can have it spread out over several years,
mm-hmm.
or they can have a lump sum and have it spread over other years. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like you actually have three options. But what they're not telling the public, or what they probably are, but the public's not cottoning on to, is that most of these young veterans that went over there and were injured,
mm-hmm.
had less than 10 years seniority, if you want to call it that, years of service in the service.
Mm-hmm.
If you are released at, say, 9 years and 11 months, you do get a lump sum or however you want. Plus, you will get whatever percentage of what your rank was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have less than 10 years in, that stops at age 65, and bang, you go on old age security and Canadian, CPP.
Right.
And so, you know, any person that just has to live on old age security and CPP, it's almost like living in a cold water flat and eating bologna sandwiches for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. These are people who are being relegated to poverty status, and it is unfortunate. We're going to get back to more of that in just a moment. We're going to take a little pause for the cause, pay a couple of bills here at Northumberland 89.7. Please stick around for more.
Northumberland County is known for its beautiful towns, heritage homes, cozy suburbs, and all the fields in between. Nobody could be hungry, cold, alone, or homeless. Not our neighbors. Or are they? Last year, 274 people turned to Transition House. Each found a safe, clean bed, hot meals, and help from our caring staff and volunteers in getting their lives back together. For more information on what we provide or to volunteer, call 905-377-0378 or visit us at 10 Chapel Street in Coburg.
Join Northumberland 89.7 in a live act as they're on the road with Legends 5, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, John Denver, Roy Orbison, Saturday, November the 15th at 7:30 at the Columbus Community Center, 232 Spencer Street in Coburg. Tickets are $28.25, includes HST. Available at Zap Records, 11 King Street East in Coburg, 905-372-8231, or in person at the Columbus Community Center. Give Nigel Hussing a call at 905-475-4248. Come on out. Head to the Royal Canadian Legion this month and catch these great events.
On the 14th and the 28th, ladies' lunches at 11:30 a.m. Cost is $6 per person. On the 16th, join the ladies' auxiliary upstairs at 5:30 p.m. for the roast beef dinner. Cost is $12 per person. And be entertained by Hal Allison and the club room from 1 till 5 p.m. The 18th is ladies' night, and on the 20th, a general meeting in the auditorium at 7:30 p.m. On the 23rd, ladies' auxiliary open sports tournaments with cribbage, euchre, and darts. And on the 30th, entertainment in the lounge with Carl Crow from 1 till 5 p.m.
The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 133 is located at 136 Orr Street in Coburg. Call 905-372-2331 and become a member today.
Community Care Northumberland has been giving strength through caring to the residents of Northumberland County for over 25 years. Experience a higher quality of life with the help of Community Care Northumberland, providing help with meals, making visits to your home, transportation services, palliative care, and more, all coordinated through Community Care Northumberland's 6 area offices. For more information about Community Care Northumberland, visit their website at comcare.ca. That's commcare.ca. Interested in volunteering? Give them a call at 1-866-514-5774. Community Care Northumberland is there for you and your family.
And welcome back to The Drive Time here, Northumberland 89.7. I'm your host, Dave Glover. With me in the studio today is John Aiken. He is in charge of Veterans Services. He's the Veteran Service Officer for Branch 133, as well as this district. And Iris Milne, who is the second Vice President of Branch 133 and also the Chair of the Poppy Committee. We have been talking about remembrance, talking about the poppies, talking about Veteran Services. And one of the things we talked about during the break was this idea that the Legion actually has sort of two mandates. One, to foster remembrance and to ensure that those that have fallen whenever you serve our country are never forgotten. And the other issue, of course, is that of advocacy and whether or not the Legion has a mandate as an advocate on behalf of veterans. I personally believe that that is a major role for the Royal Canadian Legion, although I understand it's probably not in writing.
Well, you know, it isn't in writing. But then again, if you remember, our government just said a few months ago that they had no moral responsibility to the veterans of this country. Yep. I mean, how can you say that? Especially when the chaps from World War II came home and they got their goodies. The Korean War vets came home, got their goodies. And then we give the shaft, at least I feel, my personal feeling is that we gave the shaft to the Afghan veterans.
Well, and I want to remind the listeners, too, it's not just Afghan veterans who've been sort of given short shrift here or been given the shaft, as John likes to say. It's also those veterans that came back from Bosnia, for instance. We never hear about those people. Or the people that served with Romeo Dallaire in Rwanda who came back. I mean, the visage over there was just, you know, ridiculous in terms of its state of horror. And yet the men and women who served in these areas are coming back, as John said, without receiving their goodies, for lack of a better word, quite frankly. And, you know, we really have dropped the ball. I mean, these are people who volunteer. And what are they volunteering for? They're not volunteering because it's, you know, it's a good job. It pays well. Because, you know, let's face it, in the early stages of your life in the service, unless you move up through the ranks, it doesn't pay well. It's not a particularly good job, right?
Dave, I was just thinking, you know, when I was looking through early Legion records, this Legion, Coburg Legion, was instrumental in Legion Village, in the development of Legion Village. Also, in the early minutes, there was a lot of lobbying for housing for veterans when they returned.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, indeed, the Legion has a history of advocacy, and this Legion in particular has a history of advocacy, regardless of the mandate.
Well, according to the national, according to the
yes.
Dominion chapter, anyway.
But let me ask you this. When we were watching, especially in the last couple of weeks with the Ottawa shooting and the incident in Quebec, that politicians seem to come out and suddenly, all of a sudden, there's a wrapping themselves in the Canadian flag and surrounding themselves with veterans. And I wonder, just from your perspective as people who participate directly in that, how does it make you feel when you see these people coming out and the way that sometimes the military can be used for optics more
They're using veterans as props, essentially.
But I'd like you to maybe explain from your perspective.
I want to just talk on the local perspective, and maybe John can talk on the national.
Good.
Locally, Coburg, I think, has been a strong supporter of Remembrance Day. Our mayor, Gil Brockeneer, has always marched in the parade. This year, our chief of police, Kai Lu, now remember, he's only been here 2 years, he was out there and he brought in a color party. Plus, he added protection in that. I think the awareness of everybody, Coburg people, as well as the whole of the nation, was increased by what happened. Our local politicians were out there. Yes, the firefighters are always out there. The police are always out there on the bridge here in Coburg,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. For repatriation, as is the Legion. But so I think for Coburg, we can say support is here in Coburg. Coburg really
mm-hmm.
supports Remembrance Day and service. More so now, yes, in this past one, because of the tragedy of losing two soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see more counselors out this time as well?
Yes. Yes, there were more. There were more counselors saying they wanted to join us at the Armistice Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite lovely. Yes. So, yes, there was more of that.
So maybe a little bit of bandwagon there at the...
I guess, but I like to think that they just are committed mm-hmm. to being out there and supporting
Good.
Community.
Well, okay. You know, one of the things you mentioned during our break, too, was the number of storefronts and
yes.
businesses in the downtown here that were remembering as well, sort of setting up windows of remembrance. And you talk a little bit about how that made you feel. I'm going to ask you that, John, because you're a veteran. You've served overseas. You were a Blue Beret for many years, as you say. You served in Sinai and so many other parts. Can we talk about what that makes you feel like, you know, to see this? I mean, this is spontaneous remembrance. These are not people who are being paid to remember, you know?
No, I feel that to see these is, as like Iris says, it shows strong support from the local people. And it makes you feel that you are supported. I've had people come up, I wear my medals and stuff when I'm out tagging, and they say, thank you for the service. But if you were asking like nationally about the government,
mm-hmm.
I have talked to so many veterans who will not vote conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I'd
like to meet more, frankly.
Well, the thing is that you're right. When there is something that happened, like the shooting at the war memorial, all the politicians come out and they do wrap themselves up in the flag. But that costs nothing. That's nothing. That costs nothing. It's when you're having to supply benefits for veterans that the dollars come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, like, I hate to say it, the people that are your members of parliament, they come out during Remembrance Day. Oh, yeah, we're for you, you know, mm-hmm. your service. Oh, great, great, great. But then when we ask Parliament for more benefits, they're mum, and, mm-hmm. and they have to sit there because the whip of that party tells them to sit there and be quiet
mm-hmm.
and don't agitate.
Yeah, well, I think if I could paraphrase what you're saying, the government is more than happy to support veterans that don't make it home. They don't have a problem with remembering people, the fallen. They love to remember the fallen and talk about the sacrifices. But when it comes to remembering those that didn't fall, those that came home injured, missing limbs, maybe suffering from, mental trauma, as you say, their mum. They sit quietly on their hands. I mean, I remember watching Julian Fantino being chased down the hall by the wife of a veteran who said, look, my husband came home with PTSD. I have no skills. I haven't been trained as a support worker. I don't know. Is there no program available? Are you not willing to help family members help their loved ones in these situations? And Fantino ran away.
You know what I find incredible is that, you know, and it's not to take away from the tragedy of these events. And certainly we all feel very strongly and we all feel in support of people who have given so much to in way of sacrifice. But it begins to feel that there's almost becomes a propaganda tool. Mm-hmm. It's no better than, say, you know, those old movies where you see the missiles going down the middle of the streets in front of the Kremlin and everybody seeing and these parades, and it's all propaganda that's being put out, and we're all supposed to feel very proud and patriotic. And I don't know, like, I would be curious to know how you feel about patriotism and in this environment where patriotism comes into it, because we want to feel patriotic and yet at the same time are we being manipulated?
I guess I don't have that jaded view of Coburg and our local branch and the commitment and dedication that I saw this Remembrance Day. I was so impressed by people, and I don't think they were out there so that people could say, oh, look at me, aren't I great? They were out there because they wanted people to know they supported veterans and they were proud of the military, the people who serve our country and are willing to give their lives. So I would say for our community, and maybe I'm kind of naive, I don't think so. I think the people that were out there and made this goal even better were out there because they cared.
It's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you think? Do you think veterans are being used as propaganda tools? I mean, as Rob said, we all love the patriotism, and I want to go to your point there about being seen as a face in the crowd. The real remembrance is not being recognized as a face in the crowd, just being a face in that crowd, in my opinion, anyway. But we do need to ask you this, John. I mean, do you feel, as the Veteran Service Officer, that the government is really using veterans as a propaganda tool, rousing, you know, patriotism, and at the same token, really not doing anything?
Well, first off, I want to agree with Iris. Iris is seeing things from the perspective of Coburg.
That's right.
Where we have back up like 100% of the people back up. I look at things from the political point of view. I'm looking at a different crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that especially like the funeral of Corporal Cirillo, the government, it was like, flowers and tears and flags and so on. But again, as I say, it doesn't cost the government anything.
Right.
You know, they can cry their tears and stand up there and Harper looks very sad and they might read a prayer out or something. It doesn't cost them a cent. So I feel that the politicians, yes, they probably do feel sad for the people that die, but when it comes down to dollars and cents, they're not putting their feelings into where it should go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on it.
Now, with all of this feelings in this year's Remembrance Day ceremony, what about the future? Have we reached a tipping point? Is this something that we're going to see in the future? Or how do you see it playing out? I'd like to know from both your perspectives.
This is my first year as POPI chair. So I was so impressed by what I saw, and I've got lots to learn, and that was just incredible. But as I say, from my perspective, the Legion, we are the guardians of remembrance, not letting the flame die, keeping remembering the sacrifice that our soldiers make for our country, and we want to make that always known to the public, to the youth, to all people. We want that message out there. So that's the primary message for me. Mm-hmm. And every year, no matter what, I'm sure the Poppy Chair will see that as the primary message. Okay? Mm-hmm. That is the goal, keeping remembrance alive, not forgetting the sacrifice that soldiers have made in the service of their country.
That's wonderful. I have to admit, I've covered many, many ceremonies. And in some years, I've seen a couple dozen people come out. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to hear this year that there was, you know, so many people that came out. Do you think we're at a point now where we're going to see large numbers? Or is it like a wave comes up, ebb and flow, and different numbers every year?
I hope that the community will always come out. They will always be at the cenotaph. They will always be at the side of the street with the parade going by. That they will always make donations to the Poppy campaign and want to wear a poppy of remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my hope. I can't say, but I really hope as Canadians we never forget. And well, we always do.
That's an interesting point. You raise an interesting question, because I saw Peter Mansbridge talking in Ottawa yesterday before the official ceremony began, and they were overwhelmed. I mean, some estimates in Ottawa from 50,000, but other estimates, I believe the CBC had the number pegged at well over 100,000 people at the cenotaph in Ottawa. And he said, he was talking to David Halton, I believe, and he said, you know, back in the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, they would get, you know, sometimes less than 1,000 people at this National War Memorial. And they would have conversations back then about whether or not Remembrance Day was going to go the way of the buggy whip, and, you know, people are just going to stop remembering. And, you know, does it take a tragedy on our soil? Does it take the death of two Canadian soldiers on our soil for Canadians to reignite that flame of remembrance? That's the question.
Yeah. Part of that, like Coburg Legion, we have how many members, John? 1,000?
1,100.
1,100. The commitment of a member to Coburg Legion is that they serve the Poppy campaign. And so I would say that every Legion member, all 1,100, has a commitment to be out there making sure we never forget.
And we do have a caller online, so we're going to take that call right now. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing? I was at the Port Hope service. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I was at the Port Hope service this year. And what I noticed was there was more kids involved in the service here. There was kids singing. The kids were reading the Flanders Field.
Mm-hmm.
There was sort of a, not upbeat, it was a somber ceremony.
More inclusive though, right?
Yeah, it was more inclusive, and it was more, I don't know, a little lighter. Could you say, like, it was, you know, respectful remembrance, but, I mean, we had an airplane fly over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just it was a little different this year than I've seen other years.
Right.
And, you know, like I say, with the kids lightened things up, they were singing, mm-hmm. they did the poetry. It was a very interesting, a very good ceremony. It was more, you know, not this is going to sound awful when I say this, but not the stodgy remembrance type ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little more upbeat. It was maybe because there was a lot of younger people there.
So less funeral, if you will, and more
celebration.
More celebration of life rather than just the remembrance.
That's. That's lovely. I think that's beautiful. We had classes at the service. We did. They did not take part.
Mm-hmm.
They did lay wreaths, though.
Right.
I don't know. Services are unique to their communities, I guess.
Yeah exactly. There's different branches have different things. I just wanted to say that was what I noticed this year. Was that they included younger people,
mm-hmm.
And it, you know, you talk about remembering, remembering, remembering. Well, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yes.
I know it's the same in Ottawa too. I want to thank you for your call, Ed.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. So that was actually a pretty good point, because I know in Ottawa they had a choral group of kids singing Flanders Field. They put it to music, and to bring children into the actual service and the ceremony, sort of added a little something to that service. And maybe that is something that that this branch could think about as well. Branch 133. By the way, if you're thinking of the branch 133. You can call 905-372-2231, talk to Don about becoming a member of the Royal Canadian Legion, always looking for membership and members to the branch. The hours, by the way, of the canteen, Sunday 1 to 6, Monday 11 to 10, Tuesday 11 to 10, Wednesday 11 to 10, and it's 11 to 10 every night, actually, except for Sunday, so you can go on and enjoy some of the great events, and we'll be running those ads as we run them through. We got one more caller coming through from the looks of it, so we'll take that call. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave, it's Chris Levitt speaking.
Hi, Chris, how are you?
Good. I'm just phoning in. I've met with my MP, Rick Norlock, of course, and I've asked him before about what's he doing, you know, for the veterans. And by that I mean there's huge, as we know, homelessness amongst veterans returning back from these war conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are Afghan vets, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what I was asking our MP was, has there been any kind of study into the homelessness of these vets? It really appalls me that this government is doing absolutely nothing for these vets that return. There's no kind of very little or no care at all given to these vets that are returning. And I just want to say a comment. Keep up the good work to your two guests there. I'm a member of the 133 branch, but I was working in Port Hope, helping with the Legion Popular place of work. But it's just sad what's going on with the vets, and especially closing these offices. I have made phone calls to our MP as well into Ottawa. I will continue to lobby Veterans Affairs, our critic with the NDP, about how these vets are indeed being treated.
Mm-hmm. Well, you keep up the good work, Chris. We always appreciate that. Anyone, by the way, anybody who is advocating on behalf of veterans, especially in this time of remembrance, you know what? You're not alone, and that's the good thing. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this show, by the way, just to let people know that they're not alone, that this is a concern for so many other people. So I want to thank you for your call, Chris.
Well, thank you for having the great having the guest on and bringing this topic up. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure, and I want to thank Rob Washburn for bringing the guests in this afternoon. I want to thank my guests, John Aiken and Iris Milne. Iris, who is the second vice president at Branch 133. She's also the Poppy Chair. And John Aiken, who is the Veteran Services Officer for this branch, but also for this district. Thank you for coming out, Rob. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Dave.
We're going to close the show with the same way we opened it. Here's Terry Kelly and Pittance of Time. Stick around after the top of the hour, of course, for the Sea to Rail show, which will be on right after me. So stick around for that. Here's Terry Kelly.
They fought and some died for their homeland. They fought and some died, now it's our land. Look at his little child, there's no fear in her eyes. Could he not show respect for other dads who have died? Take 2 minutes, would you mind? It's a pittance of time for the boys and the girls who went over. In peace may they rest, may we never forget why they died. It's a pittance of time. God forgive me for wanting to strike him. Give me strength so as not to be like him. My heart pounds in my breast, fingers pressed to my lips. My throat wants to bawl out, my tongue barely resists. But 2 minutes I will bide, it's a pittance of time for the boys and the girls who went over. In peace may they rest, may we never forget why they died.
It's a pittance of time. The heroes at home, they have casualties, battles, and fears of their own. There's a price to be paid if you go, if you stay. Freedom's fought for and won in numerous ways. Take 2 minutes, work your mind. It's a pittance of time for the boys and the girls all over. May we never forget our young become vets at the end of the line. It's a pittance of time. It takes courage to fight in your own war. It takes courage to fight someone else's war. Our peacekeepers tell of their own living hell. They bring hope to foreign lands that hate mongers can't kill. Take 2 minutes, would you mind? It's a pittance of time for the boys and the girls who go over. In peacetime, our best still don battle dress and lay their lives on the line. It's a pittance of time. In peace may they rest, lest we forget why they died. Take a pittance of time.